What are your thoughts on this strange and delicious place?
Well, it's a very strange place. I came here to cover the World Series of Poker, and apparently there's some kind of law against wearing weird masks on your head. I tried to explain to them this is my real face. They shot me up with elephant tranquilizer and threw me in the back alley.
Whoa.
Oh, my God, that's rough.
That is absolutely...
I haven't seen a collection of degenerates and weirdos as vast since the last Republican convention. They drove me about 40 miles outside of town and dropped me in the desert. They're trying to pretend I'm not even here. After the show is over, I'm walking back down to the Rio and I'm going to kill everyone.
Oh yeah, he definitely means it too. Eagle and Vice, episode 131.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, this is Mike. This is Eagle and Vice, episode 131. Thank you so much for tuning in. This week on Eagle and Vice, I have Garrett and Nick from the local heavy metal band, Thundercock. Super excited to have them on. I've had a Thundercock sticker on my little record cabinet thingy here with all the rest of the bands and everybody that's been on Eagle and Vice, and Thundercock was one of the first stickers I stuck on that thing. One of the first stickers I stuck. And now they're here. And I'm fucking ready. Maybe I wasn't ready, but now I'm ready. Anyway, going to play a song from Thundercock. Then we're going to come back, like I said, with Garrett and Nick. We're going to talk all things the cock. Right here. On Ego and Vice.
He's got a scar on his dick.
Hey, we're back. This is episode 131. This is Ego and Vice. My name is Mike. And as in the intro, as promised in the intro, I have two members from the local band Thundercock. The Thundercock. I have Garrett and Nick in studio. How's it going?
Yo, yo. Hey,
what's going on?
Thank you so much for coming out. Before you, before we hit record, I have this cabinet in my basement, and I've had a Thundercock sticker on it for years. And it's not like I overlooked the sticker. I always knew it was there, but I'm trying to get around to everybody. So it's cool that Thundercock is finally, has always been down in the studio, but now they're in the studio in person. And so I'm very, very happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Did you guys want to introduce yourselves, what you do in the band, and maybe introduce the other members that can't be here before we even get started so we know what we're dealing with?
Yeah, sure. My name's Garrett. I'm the vocalist of Thundercock.
And I'm Nick. I'm like the hype man.
I like that, the hype man.
I kind of come out when the crowd needs to get scared a little bit, so I get up on the stage and I start screaming into a microphone and pouring beer into my mouth.
All right, all right. Well, Thundercock does have a very that we'll get to the live show, and I'm sure if that must be a very important. You're a very important guy when it comes to the Thundercock live show.
My ego doesn't need that.
Okay, okay. So anyway, did you guys catch the eclipse today?
Honestly, I was in the gym when the eclipse was happening, and that's kind of where I stayed. I there was a giant glass window because I'm on Queen Street, and like it was completely pitch black. Look, it was like 9 p.m. outside, and like that's when I kind of took a little bit of interest. But I didn't buy any little special glasses or anything, so I couldn't actually go look at the sun, which
the,
was
the glasses that those really special glasses to stare at the sun for 40 minutes that you buy at the gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some neighbors across the way, and they were sitting out, and they had the lawn chairs, and they had like a thermos and shit, and they're wearing those like,
unbelievable
paper glasses they bought at the Petrocan.
Yeah.
Staring at the sun. I don't know if that's the fucking, anyway.
Did you see the eclipse?
I did, but I kind of played it cool because all my neighbors were like sitting in their chairs with their paper glasses, and I was out cleaning my car. And my girlfriend actually called me and said, shut the windows so Thomas, my cat, doesn't get all screwed up because of the change, apparently. It might be overreacting, but... And I was like, oh, right, the eclipse. So I was just like, that's fine. So I was cleaning the inside of my car, like, after winter, and I was in, got the doors open, and I had my knee pads on and stuff like that. And everyone's looking at the thing, and I just pretended it wasn't happening. It was got dark and everything, but I'm just, you know, didn't even look at it once.
Nice. Such a Chad move.
Yeah, yeah. Well... I did, although I did raise my phone and took like a picture behind my head and then kind of looked at the picture to see if I could do it. I put a bunch of filters on it to see if it would like pop the moon, but
that's almost why I didn't bother to look at the eclipse though, because I knew there would be so much content on the internet for the next 6 months that I would be seeing. That's... And they posted like somebody posted this really cool high def footage of the eclipse as seen from Texas.
Oh.
And like the image was so clear, I was like, you can't even get that with those stupid glasses on. So I was like, it's even way better to look at it this way through my cell phone.
I didn't have the glasses, and I just looked through my cell phone at the sun.
Oh, really? Does that limit the badness or the damage?
I did it, and I can see still.
It's like I'm good, but my cell phone's fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Thundercock. Let's talk about Thundercock. I tried to do some research on you guys, but as I always tell everybody, I am not a professional journalist. I do what I can with what I got. And I find local bands, you got to kind of dig kind of deep and then get some bullet points, and then hopefully, you know, it'll come out in the wash, as they say. As far back as I could go is 2016. Does that add up?
Yeah, that's probably about it. Like, okay. Eight-ish years now?
Donald Trump took presidency, and we knew we had to respond.
I see. Very good, very good. And what was the outcome? Did it work?
We're still here. He's not.
I think he got the message. He's terrified of us.
Okay. As he should be.
Yeah.
As most people are. Now, Thundercock is a absolute straight up heavy metal band. Everything I could read about you guys, is what it's classified as. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think originally we wanted to be like glam metal. And then we changed our perspective a little bit, and we were trying to go for a new wave of Canadian heavy metal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like sometimes the line gets blurred moving forward. Like we have some thrash songs now and stuff, but yeah, we're always all of us are into heavy metal, so it's kind of where we live.
Speaking of that, I think we missed three members of the band when we were doing the introduction because we got we digressed with the Eclipse, or maybe I just cut you off. I have ADHD, so I try and keep things on a straight line.
You could say that conversation almost eclipsed that topic.
Oh, very good. See, that's the beauty of Thundercock is the wordplay and the cleverness of it all. So the other three guys.
We got Travis Hood. He plays the bass. Mm-hmm. He's really good at it. And then Dave Kastner and Hamish Robertson. That's his name, Robertson?
Yeah.
they play guitar. They're absolute wizards on guitar. Complete wizards. Yeah. And then, so we actually just added a new member to the Thundercock lineup. Our drummer, Hunter Breen. He plays in another local band called Gland. They're a death grind band. Mm. And he's a killer. He's an absolute skin killer. He showed up like a month ago in our jam space. I knew him from a previous project we both worked on, and he just like blew us all away. He's just like on point, just like slaying every second of the song, and this tour was a great showpiece for him.
I will touch on that later, but the musicianship in Thundercock is second to none. Like, you guys are good players, like real good. Did you all know each other through this, like the Ottawa scene? Is that how it all came together? Was it
the five of us, when we met up, we all kind of played in different bands, but we like drank together. Mm. So I was out having some sodas with Dave one night, and we got the idea to start like a glam band. And he was like, oh, I know this other guy that I want to play guitar. And he knew a guy that played bass, and then I knew a guy that played drums at the time. But we all kind of came from different genres. Like, the one guitar player and bass player played like more rock stuff. Dave played more like mathy kind of things. I came from playing like death metal and black metal and things like that. So and then later on we added Nick as the hype man when our antics started getting out of control.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I was really the only person that was down to make a complete idiot out of myself. Like, they would be like, we need somebody to put like this crazy costume on, and like, we need you to wear a dildo and all this stuff. And I'd be like, absolutely. It was such second nature for me.
I'm your guy. you found him.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, hey man, everybody needs one of those guys. And if every band had one of those guys, then every band would be every other band, but you guys are the Thundercock.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what makes it. It's all the parts of that make the whole. That could have been a good play on words.
I was close, dude. I was close. I just wasn't sure.
I stumped them. So the very first EP that was released was Trigger Warning.
Yeah, we released like three EPs in very tight sequence of each other that were all just three or four songs on cassette.
Oh, cool.
Trigger Warning was us kind of like figuring out what we were doing at the time and kind of figuring out how to record with each other and how each other work. It probably came out 8 years ago now.
Yeah, 2016 was Trigger Warning. 2017 was Cocaine with the K.
Cocaine.
Cocaine. Oh, I didn't even get it. Yeah, shit. That's great. And then there was 2019's Sex Tape EP.
Oh, yeah, the Sex Tape EP. Yeah.
Which... That's the one I kind of get stuck on, because there's certain songs like Ejacula.
Oh my god, yeah, we still play that one.
And one of my all-time probably favorite ever, not even just like song titles, but just, it's just funny, is 1980-69.
Yeah.
Like, come on now. Like, I love the wordplay and the humor, and it's just like what I was talking about, where the music is just tight and it's like really good and the lyrics are clever, but they're not all funny, but they're just like humorous. They have the humor, but they have like the tongue-in-cheek, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they're still kind of badass.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know.
And speaking of Ejacula, we were like trying to base a whole musical around the idea of that song for a little while. Ejacula. We got like pretty deep into
it. We have a whole script written for it.
Into an actual script.
It's a super ambitious project.
Ejacula the show?
Yeah.
I think it's called the Book of Ejacula. But that's kind of the thing about Thundercock, though, is that like, it's kind of like a public inside joke where it's like these six dudes get together and they drink, and then somebody makes a joke and everybody thinks it's the stupidest thing ever. and that joke becomes like the centerpiece for like a song or something, and like or even just like an antic on stage. Like this last tour in Ottawa, we were playing with these dildos that squirt.
I saw some footage of that on Instagram.
So this time around, we were talking to somebody because we have connections in the film industry, and this dude helped us rig a pressure system up to the dildo so that it was like, because usually it squirts, but not to a very high velocity. But this time it was
the low
truly,
stream.
It was truly pissing this time. They were pissing hard, and they had to point those dildos at something because there was so much electrical equipment on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And that flow of water was just unceasing.
I was waiting to get electrocuted. I was so sure we were going to get shocked.
That's it.
Is that in between songs, or is that during a song? Like when they are actually
during, yeah.
Is it show wide?
Yeah, like, so they'll play and they'll be
squirting the whole set, they'll be squirting.
That's cool. I totally get what you mean though about like because in Goat, my other band, we had a lot of stupid songs. We had songs called like Ball Gazer, Don't Put It In Me. Then we had Gooch Gazer, the sequel to Ball Gazer. And it all came from goofing off in the jam. It was almost like an inside joke. That how many like I know Goat had a ton of songs that were jokes in the band room that we could never play in front of people.
Oh yeah.
I have a feeling Thundercock may have a few of those as well.
Yeah, like essentially like all of our songs are kind of that. Our full length album is a series of songs that are all true stories.
Okay.
Like everything in that album happened in real life.
Oh wow.
So it's like that was like we have those jokes, but usually like yeah, we usually put them out there.
Oh yeah, you just go for it? Oh yeah. Some of ours were a little too crass. Like we didn't have the courage to put them out, but they were like gnarly. And it's just like we laughed our asses off.
Yeah,
you know,
I think us, it's like the way I try to like write it down is so that we are like the butt of the joke.
Yeah,
it's never like it's always it's like you're laughing at us.
Yeah,
you're not laughing with us, you're laughing at us a lot of the time.
Yeah,
so.
it's not direct, it's not, you're not being ignorant or mean, it's all just like let's all have,
well, I'll be mean to people together in the band because
yeah,
like,
well yeah,
I hate them,
yeah, of but. course. I haven't liked a band member I've ever played with. No, I'm just kidding. So I guess you guys started playing shows right away and you just kind of carried it through. You like they always say you tour the record, you played shows backing these EPs and that.
Yeah, the early EPs we started figuring out kind of what was going on and what people liked, and that's why the show is so extreme now, because the things that people really responded to were like the wild antics. Mm-hmm. And it's been ramping up ever since then.
I've always considered like rock and roll, like you look far back as like I don't know, like Kiss or something in the 70s. And it is performance art to a degree, you know what I mean? Like, you can go up there as four guys in your jeans and t-shirts and play, like, four-chord rock songs, and people love that. But if you have the ability or it's in you and you're all in, like, the collective to put on, a presentation as well as the music,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's that old saying where it's, like, you work, like, a year to write, record, and, you know, rehearse and record a record, and then you put 15 minutes into your stage show to perform it, right? Just doesn't balance out very well. If you put as much time into the music as you did into the stage show and then presented all that as one thing, then you can kind of write your own ticket, I think. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, we put a lot of time into the stage show.
Mm-hmm. It's like a GWAR type of thing, right? Where it's like...
Yeah, if we could get to that level, that would be amazing. I would be so pumped.
That's some high-tech property.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's it.
Right? Latex rubber foam, I think. Eh? Did you guys go to the GWAR show?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Did you turn red like everyone else?
No, I'm old. I sat down.
Oh, yeah. Do you know Blake Hipson? He was in a band called Life on Trial. He was in a couple other bands. Vocalist, short guy, big white beard, really kind of deep guttural kind of thing.
Were they playing? Know him.
Yeah, Blake, I think we know him.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sure. Sounds
anyway,
familiar.
Anyway, the Queers were playing at the Brass Monkey last week, and I ran into Blake, and he's got white hair and white beard, and it was all pink.
Oh, still. Nice.
And I was like, sweet, pink beard. He's like, yeah, I didn't do it on purpose. I went to the GWAR show, and he couldn't get it out of his white beard.
That is so crazy. I didn't think that there was going to be that staining. Like, yeah. I didn't go too close to the pit because I had taken mushrooms at night and I was freaking out. Well, but, like, yeah. I got splashed. I got splashed, and the one shirt that I wore is, like, still got that shit on. And I was like, damn. It's like, no one ever talks about the fact that when you go to a guar show, you, like, literally get dyed pink and it stays like that for weeks.
I wonder what kind of, like, contract they signed for the venue, right? It's like,
I wonder.
Oh, my God, you're so right.
Do they bring their own cleaning crew, or do they have to pay extra because they know it's going to be, like, a fucking just a disaster, like, once they leave? It's not just like packing your gear up going, all right, thanks for the night. Yeah,
but yeah, I was standing beside the soundboard for that whole show, and they had tarps over top of the soundboard and the lighting board as well.
Crazy. How far did it, like, I didn't go, how far did it, it just went everywhere, I guess, right? Like the blood spraying and the cannons.
It was like it was far back. Like, I was like near the back of the room because I
didn't want to get covered
in blood. Yeah, I still got scored. How are they, like, pulling that off every night? And, like, oh, I get nervous sometimes if we spill, like, too much beer on the stage. I'm like, oh man, the Spar is gonna be pissed and they're gonna kick us out and never let us back. But it has never happened.
Yeah,
yet
they actually welcome us with open arms when we come back.
To be guar, I guess you can get away with lots. You could probably also, like, afford to pay for the cleaning crew, but
yeah, that's true.
Anyway, as long as there's not, like, permanent, like, it's like, this will ruin your bar for a while. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't have people in here for at least 3 weeks after we're done playing, but who knows?
We played a show at Targ, like, several years ago, and we used to use fake blood as a prop. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of it on my hand, and I put it on the ceiling because I was leaning forward to do something, and I stained the ceiling with a fist of blood, and it was there for, like, a good year after.
Anyone give you shit for it, or?
No, but I was sad whenever they painted over it.
He painted over it?
Yeah.
Oh. Cool, man. All right, let's play a song. I'll let you choose off of the first, I guess, three EPs that we got to off of Trigger Warning, Cocaine, or Sex Tape.
Let's do Ejacula. It's a classic. Ejacula. We still play it.
Absolute classic. We opened with that on our last tour.
Ejacula?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Broadway musical. All right, this is Thundercock. This is a song called Ejacula. Ego and Vice.
We'll be right back.
So how did Thundercock do during the pandemic? Did you guys keep going, or did you take a big hiatus? Was there ever a moment where you thought this might be the end?
We used to do a thing for the first little chunk of it, where we would do tub time together, and we would all just get in our tubs, like have draw baths in our tubs and video screen each other and talk about ideas and things. And then throughout the pandemic, we worked on the full length and kind of like you write it online and stuff. And then whenever the pandemic ended, we were able to put it to tape, which it like COVID worked out for us. It wasn't too bad. We all live very close to each other.
Oh, good.
So
that serve money was so good.
Yeah, right. Hey, COVID was a killer for a lot of bands, but some bands thrived and came out of the actual pandemic super strong and fucking hungry, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. And you wrote a record. I guess that was Life is a Nightmare?
Yeah, Life is a Nightmare came out of the pandemic.
Nice, nice. I ask this question sometimes about the pandemic whenever it does come up. Did you... Well, I guess it answers it now. I just like... Some people... had no they were less creative, some people were more creative just because of the environment. So cool. Do the songs on Life is a Nightmare kind of reflect that time period, like how you guys were feeling, or is it more like Thundercock craziness?
It's there is a song on there that's kind of about the time. The title track is Life is a Nightmare, about how life is just generally a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them have to do with like around like events that happened around that time to members of the band or things that maybe happened just before it, but it's a culmination of little stories.
Tell them about Number of the Yeast.
Oh yeah, that's
Number of the Yeast is a song that's on Life is a Nightmare, and it's I forget how we came across this, but we all had a discussion one night where we all thought at one point in our lives that we had contracted herpes. And then went to the doctor and were told that we had yeast infections.
All of you.
Yeah. Somebody told the story and the next guy was like, you're not going to believe this, but I also had a yeast infection. So it's just like, that's kind of where the songs come out. Like, how does that happen to five dudes? Y'all get yeast infections. Like, it's got to become Number of the Yeast.
Will of God.
I guess so. It was like your bath, video osmosis, some weird kind of like, anyway.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? Do you guys play in the same band? Maybe someone touched someone's strings. I don't know, something. Anyway, so as far as playing shows and stuff, I saw that Targ pops up a lot. Have you guys done any like touring?
Yeah, we do little rips. We just got back from a few dates. We did like Kingston, Ottawa, and Montreal for a weekend, mm-hmm. but we all work full time. It's hard to get out for. Mm-hmm. For big tours.
Is Thundercock a full-time band? Like, do you guys practice once a week and play once a month type of thing? Is that kind of your agenda, or is it just kind of weekend warrior type stuff?
Yeah, we jam like once a week. We try to play locally like 3 or 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. We're very low-key now. We go in phases, right? We're low-key, and then sometimes we get energy and we want to write like movies and stuff together. I think right now we're in a very energetic phase. Cause we've been hanging out a lot lately and a lot of ideas have been coming up. Mm-hmm. Like we mentioned with the musical movie thing and we have like other concepts that are floating around in our brain right now, like a Dildozer album. That's See? Like a play on the Killdozer. Like, awesome. It's just like when the ideas start flowing, you start like putting pen to paper and writing music and things get done. So we're in an energy mood right now. I think maybe it's because we're coming out of winter or something.
Dildozer. It's so simple. Why didn't I ever think of it? Right? It's perfect, though. I love that shit. That's so funny. That's the kind of shit we used to laugh at, too. Anyway. So I know apparently there's like a rule. A podcasting rule. I don't know. I heard this before. You're not supposed to ask a band where their band name came from. You're not supposed to do that because that's supposed to be kind of like lore or something. You're just supposed to kind of fucking figure it out. But what I like to ask is, were there any other names that you were going to name Thundercock that didn't make the cut?
Yeah, I think we were just trying to play with words and make them sexual, and we landed on Thundercock because it was usable, or so we thought. and it sounded good. It's kind of like a rock and roll kind of name.
When you were talking about that, it was glam metal too.
Yeah,
that's where you wanted to kind of start. I can see how it's kind of like that sexual kind of like, I can see like that, like a hair metal with like Thundercock.
Yeah, it started as like, as it would be funny to do like a very hypersexual kind of Steel Panther thing, but it turned into like smoking dicks and pissing on each other on stage.
Yeah, right.
Those massive dicks that spew smoke are heavy as fuck, and like we have to carry those to every single show.
Can you tell a couple of really crazy well, you already told the spraying dicks one. Can you tell any other like maybe a couple of really crazy like show stories?
Do you have any from this weekend, Nick?
I don't have anything that's like outrageously crazy, but there was this one thing I was doing. So I was wearing a bunny suit. We were calling it, this character was called the Easter Bunny. And I was putting this bunny suit on for like the first half of the set. And I would do this thing where I would lay on the ground and pour a beer into my mouth.
Uh-huh.
So the first two nights it went pretty well. But then Montreal was like, it was a good show. There was a really good turnout and the crowd ended up receiving us near the end of the show. But, for some reason, it was like they were cardboard. Like they were like, they were not responding to like our normal antics. Like we like to like
tough night,
straight
tough
up
crowd.
Oh yeah, we like to pour beer into people's like mouths and stuff like that. And they just like, they didn't even understand like that concept. But so for this show, I laid on my back, and I went to go pour the beer into my mouth, but it immediately shot like right up my nose, and I like Michael Myers like sat up like immediately. And like somebody got it like on video and shared it out to their story, and like it was just, it was the stupidest thing. Like every time I see it, I just like replay that moment in my head. But I think probably the craziest thing from this last tour was the fact that Scott Stapp from Creed was on stage with us for this. Like about 2 months ago, he called us and he said that he was super into what we were doing, and he was like, "I'm gonna fly out and I want to sing a Creed song with you guys." And we were like, "Absolutely!"
So we were playing Creed at the end of every set. And the crowds took it surprisingly well. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah, we played an entire Creed song at the end of the set.
That's the most random, absolute random thing I've ever heard in my life.
And you can see it on our Instagram. He's there.
Okay.
Yeah, we do random. We'll do covers like that sometimes.
Which Creed song did you play?
My Sacrifice.
My Sacrifice, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fuck, that's crazy. Okay. I don't even know what to say to that. That I was going to ask for crazy. Yeah, one time we got drunk and threw a TV out of a hotel window. No, Scott Stapp from Creed called us and he came down and fucking...
Our like, I don't know if I can tell like the crazy stories without like some people getting in trouble.
Well.
We want the guys from Buck Cherry to call us. We want to go on tour with them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just luck would have it, Buck Cherry is one of my biggest listeners.
That's nice. Crazy. They're ignoring us hardcore on Instagram right now. It's upsetting.
Well, you got Scott.
He's our in. He's got the golden keys to the game.
That's right. That's right. So what do you guys got coming up?
So right now we're writing the Killdozer album, or the Dildozer album.
Dildozer.
Yeah. So we're doing the Dildozer album, and that's going to be a concept. That's going to be a concept based on, like, you know what the Killdozer is, right?
Killdozer. Yeah. There was that dude who locked himself in that giant fucking thing he made in his barn, and then he just absolutely terrorized the town, but ended up didn't kill anybody.
He's like the Unabomber if the Unabomber had a pair of nuts. He was libertarian enough to do it and like actually face the people that he wanted to do it to.
Right.
This Unabomber guy, he's no bueno to me.
Okay, that's fair. I feel bad for the Killdozer dude because like he did a lot. He made a big mess.
Oh, basically. Yeah. Right.
And he caused a lot of damage.
Didn't kill a single person.
But he didn't kill anybody. And then he shot himself in the Killdozer. I wish he would have just climbed out and went, "All right, you got me."
No, he should have stuck around because so many people think very highly of that guy. And I already am aware of the fact that so many serial killers get like massive amounts of pussy like in prison, like from the outside. Like girls were obsessed with Ted Bundy. They were obsessed with all those guys. So it's like if Killdozer stayed alive, I'm certain he would be getting conjugal visits up the wazoo.
Heemeyer getting all the pussy.
That's it. So.
He might even be out now. He might be a free man by now, no?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Dude.
You never know, because you never know what charges, you know.
He's a true American hero. He stood up to corruption.
Yeah, you could just say it wasn't me. It wasn't me. What are you talking about? You know,
God bless that man. So anyways,
Dildozer. He sold the engineering for the Killdozer to Boeing and actually served time.
Yeah. That's it. Killdozer. Boeing wishes they could make a Killdozer. But the regulations are in the way. Donald Trump, please, if you're listening to this, make the regulations possible so that Boeing can make a killdozer.
Well, just as luck would have it, Donald Trump is one of my biggest listeners.
Dude, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. He's also one of our greatest enemies.
Oh, okay. Very good.
As he should be.
Okay. Did you have any last words or any shout-outs to people? I have a game that we're going to play for the last part of the podcast. It's a question and answer game. It's called 13 Questions with the Band. But before we go into that, do you have any last words, any shout-outs, anything you want to say to anybody?
I just want to shout out Justin Trudeau because he funds this band personally. So,
as luck would have it, Justin Trudeau is one of my biggest fans.
Goat. Super goat.
Yeah. Okay. Are you willing to play 13 Questions with the Band?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it. Time for 13 Questions with the Band. Yes, this segment's back again. It's called 13 Questions, but I only asked 6, maybe 5. Okay, we're back. 13 questions with Thundercock. These questions are kind of rapid fire. You don't have to go into like any crazy, crazy detail unless you want to. And I'm going to ask you, each of you can answer. I have 13 questions. I don't actually ask 13 questions. I ask questions out of the 13 questions.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So when we're done, you say that wasn't 13. And yeah.
Sweet.
Okay, so let's do this. What was the first tape, CD, or record you bought with your own money?
Oh man, I got a good one for this. I went to the I'm from Cornwall. I went into the CD store in Cornwall and I bought like this very like normal looking Sepultura CD, but I also bought Tomb of the Mutilated because the cover was super fucked up. I didn't
Hell
even know
yeah.
what it was, and I so Hell I yeah. bought them and I'm like a little kid, but I hid Tomb of the Mutilated for my mom.
Oh,
and
fuck
I got
yeah.
home and I listened to it and I was like, this sounds terrible.
Oh.
And then like a decade later, I was like, this sounds amazing.
Dude, yeah. For me, I think it was Toxic Holocaust, Hell on Earth, because it got that Ed Repka cover, and I was obsessed with that aesthetic so much.
Hell yeah.
And then I followed that into Death, Spiritual Healing. They had a cover by Ed Repka. That's such a... It's like Sunlit, too, you know? Like, it's that blue one where there's, like, that guy in the wheelchair, and it's just so metal. Mm-hmm. Ate that up.
Cool. All right. What is your death row meal?
It's going to be Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
I'm going to eat so much Taco Bell that when they put me in that thing, I just bust all over the fucking glass. Like, I go out like a bitch.
Man, yeah, I can't even. An endangered animal in front of a vegan,
yeah,
maybe.
Dude, yes. Dude, yes.
Awesome. What is your desert island record if you got stuck on a desert island and you had to have one record? That's it.
Alice in Chains, Dirt.
Yo. How very fitting.
Absolutely, just like the whole album, complete bangers. That Lane Stanley is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy.
Cool.
I might do like Dope Smoker or something just to fit the aesthetic.
I put that on at a party once because somebody told me I could put on one song, so I put on Dope Smoker by Sleep.
Hour and 10 minute long song.
Nice. Is that how long it is? Hour and 10 minutes.
It's like I think it's over for sure. Over an hour.
Yeah. That was such a fuck you to the label, too, because they were like, we need you to do an album. They're like, okay, here's 1 hour long song. And they're like, this is fucking bullshit. And then they cut it into like 6 tracks. With the Jerusalem.
I was about to say, do they have a live version on YouTube or what?
I have no idea.
The regular like recording of it got released.
Yeah, eventually
though.
They dropped the original recording. Yeah.
Cool. What was your first live concert?
Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm. Ottawa?
Yep. Cool. Blues Fest.
Ah.
And then I saw them again when they came around and they played my favorite album, Seventh Son of the Seventh Son, which was my favorite album by them at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely blown away by that because, like, when do you ever get to see one of your favorite bands play one of your favorite records in full? You know, it doesn't happen all the time.
No, especially in your hometown, right? You don't have to travel to fucking Sweden for it. So.
That's rare. That's always the shit whenever bands tour albums like that.
It is super rare because it's literally one of, like, their least, like, lesser popular albums, I think. Like, especially when you think of that era, like, Peace of Mind and Power Slave, it's like, why wouldn't they do one of those records?
Mm-hmm. I'm finding that's more of like a thing they're doing now too. It's like a trend where it's like, come see so and so play the whatever 1986 hit album fucking in full, and they'll play like the deep cuts and the B-sides and in track listing order. It's crazy.
They had a big ass organ. It was like these massive pipes and everything. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, this shit's crazy.
Didn't we just see Wilhelm Scream do all a Party Crasher?
We did,
like,
yeah, we did.
Like they just
at the Dom.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Cool, man. First concert.
Frig. embarrassingly enough, I think it was probably like Warped Tour when I was like 13 Jonas or 14. Brothers. Yeah.
So your first concert was all the bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Very good.
It wasn't all the bands anything playing. It wasn't anything as cool as Metallica.
No.
Or Iron Maiden, sorry.
My first my first show was seeing all the bands playing a robust 24 minute set.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where am I now? If Thundercock could open for any band, who would that band be?
Oh my God.
Judas Priest, man.
Yeah,
Judas
yes.
fucking Priest, oh my God, for nailed sure. It. That's an easy one.
Yeah, that would be the shit.
They like Rob Halford specifically, like, is a fucking angel in leather, fucking assless chaps.
Yeah, I want to get a Rob Halford tattoo really badly.
Yo, I would love to get a Robert Halford tattoo. That'd be dope.
Yeah. I did a my friend Jordan, my producer, he sent me this kind of song that he thought was punk rock, just a instrumental track, and he's like, "Here, use this. I don't know what to do with it." And all I heard was like British Steel, like I heard like that.
Hell yeah!
So, it was I wrote lyrics and did like a Rob Halford inspired thing, and it's called Bleeding Gasoline.
Yo, nice!
Hell yeah!
It's about a biker just draped in leather who wipes out, but the leather wasn't strong enough to stop the road rash.
That is so Halford.
And now he's bleeding gasoline.
Yo, I like that.
It was a cool song.
Cool.
Trademark. No. okay. Next, where am I here? If you had a time machine and you could go back to any musical moment from the past, what would it be?
For me, that's an easy question. Death and Chuck Schuldiner have been like, or even Pantera have been like such massive musical influences for me. So I think it would be definitely like a Leprosy era Death show.
Cool.
Man, anybody in all of history playing any music.
Anything you want. You have a DeLorean.
Maybe go, like, what's that set that Black Sabbath played in California where they were wearing all white and had the rainbows all over the stage?
Oh, yeah.
I forget
Black
the name.
Black Sabbath would be tight.
Yeah, I'd like to see, like, old Black Sabbath. Like back in the day when they were young, that would be amazing.
Back when Ozzy was doing the leapfrog.
Yeah.
Ozzy's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, poor Ozzy. Eh? He's getting up there. Didn't he just retire?
I think so.
Sharon must have enough money.
How crazy is it that man is still up and walking after like his past and shit? We were talking about because we were ripping Dio on the way down to the Kingston show, which was the first show of the tour.
How did Dio die before?
And, like, obviously, I wouldn't trade either one for the other, but it's, like, crazy to think that Dio died, like, at a pretty young age. I think he was, like, 60 years old or something like that. And
yeah.
Ozzy's still ripping around. He dropped an album, like, 4 years ago.
I know. It's crazy.
Post Malone's producer.
Yeah, I think that last Ozzy record was very... I think it had, like, every song had, like, 9 guest musicians and guest writers and shit.
It's Sharon, dude.
Yeah. Sharon. It had Ozzy on some of the songs, but yeah, it was pretty good. Okay. If you could have a drink or a meal or something.
Oh, God damn it. I screwed up what concert I should. Can I re-answer that concert question?
Yeah. Go back.
I messed that up. I would go back to Woodstock 99.
Yo!
Oh, for the time machine one.
No way, dude.
During the Limp Bizkit
yes.
set?
Oh, my God. That would be so crazy.
Oh, man,
you're
imagine
begging
that.
Fred Durst to calm the crowd down, and he's just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And you saw Creed play earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And then later on, you might get to see Korn or something.
I would definitely stick around for Korn. I was a massive Korn
fan. Did you guys watch the documentary on that?
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
The most recent one?
It's dark.
It is dark.
I couldn't get by the fucking shit and piss in the mud.
Yeah.
Where they're just sliding through it and shit. I just couldn't get by
fucking
it.
Rockfest 2016 over
that's
here.
That's all the fucking ground was just shit and piss and dirt.
Could have gone back in time and seen an animated Mozart? Hell no. Show me the shit and piss urinals while Fred Durst says, yeah.
Fucking Fred. Poor old Fred. Did you see him lately? Anyway.
Oh, man.
With his cowboy hat and his old man hair and shit. I don't know what's going on there.
We got tickets to see him in the summer as like kind of a meme.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Feldman is opening.
Yeah, Corey Feldman's opening.
Oh, I heard that. And yeah. Corey Feldman is like, he's going around talking about like he's opening for fucking Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you hear I'm opening for Limp Bizkit? I'm touring with Limp Bizkit. It's like, that's not always the greatest fucking thing to to do. I guess if you're Corey Feldman, it is.
Yeah. That dude's having a hard time.
Oh, man. Corey Feldman's out of his mind. And, you know, no offense to people that are actually out of their minds, but he's fucking out of his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Corey. Or he's too in his mind. Ooh, that's fucking profoundly deep right there. Okay, if you could have a drink or a meal or something with anybody, alive or dead, who would it be?
Man, I'd have like 20 drinks with Lemmy. I think that would be my choice. Like, get excessive. Mm-hmm. No food. Skipping dinner.
I feel like I would have dinner with Joe Biden because I have like an inkling that I could like trick him into giving me some kind of like state power somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if I could become like an emissary or something, maybe.
Joe Biden usually puts comments on each episode. He listens. He's an avid listener. So next time I talk to him, I'll let him know.
Joe, please call me.
Yeah. Last question.
Hunter turned me on to this show.
Last question of 13 questions with Thundercock. Who is Thundercock?
You get to answer this one, Nick.
Thundercock is a legal entity that is claiming tax exemption in Canada and different parts of Europe.
I knew you were going to say that. Word for word.
They hate me, dude.
Cool, man. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Maybe let's do it again down the road and we get all five guys in here tearing my
house
apart.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And maybe I'll go back to the two-part episodes and we'll get into some of those stories.
Man, if the viewers want it, we'll do it.
Hey, man, I can always put like some kind of weird banner over top saying, listen with care. What are you calling it? Anyway. But I wish you all the best in the future and listen to the new record. Life is a nightmare because sometimes it sure is.
Oh yeah.
And go see these guys live because the live show is fucking out of, like, the live show is fucking Corey Feldman out of its mind.
We are Ottawa's Corey Feldman.
We are Ottawa's answer to Corey Feldman.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Peace out.
Thanks. So
Yo, hi. That's the end of episode 131. I'd like to thank Garrett and Nick for coming by and representing Thundercock on the podcast. That's one check off the bucket list. If you want to check out the podcast, you can always go to egoandvicepodcast.com. It is the hub, the EQ, the center of the universe, the fortress of solitude, all things Ego and Vice, lead and go, start and end there. So whatever format, whatever site you want to use, the link is there, my friends. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always email me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, if you want to leave a comment, if you want to leave a nasty comment, hey, free country, I suppose. To a certain degree, right? Yeah, that's it. Fuck it. See you next week.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker. Wanna raise the anxiety, babe.